Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Throughout human history, there have been bitter disagreements that have brought tension to the world. A few years back, one such dispute happened over who had the world's longest ear hair. I kid you not. There was a man who laid claim to the record. In fact, he was in the Guinness Book of Records. His name was B.D. Tiangi, and he had cultivated two amazing wisps of four-inch oral strands. Very impressive. But then there was a farmer whose name is Narayan Prasad Paul, who claimed that he had broken the record. And in fact, he had. He had grown two strings of ear hair that extended a full 5 inches from his ears. Well, some of the world's media kind of converge on this guy to see and take pictures and interview him about his amazing ear hair. And in the interview, he said, "I am so proud of this record. I hope to have it till the day I die." And then he concluded with this admission. He said, "Other than this, I have not achieved much in life." So the last 2 weeks, if you've been here, even if you haven't, we've been talking about being bad and being broken. We talked about how it's difficult in some ways to be bad, and it's painful to be broken. But here's my guess. I bet some of us would say, you know what, that I'm sure is true, but at least bad and broken people have a story. Now, the problem with my life, honestly, is that it's mind-numbingly boring. And we've talked about how Jesus came to earth to turn the lives around of bad people and broken people. But maybe for you, it's difficult to imagine Jesus intervening in your life, which isn't so much desperate as it is dull. Maybe you hear this guy with the 5-inch ear hair who says, "Other than this, I have not achieved much in life." And if you were honest, you'd say, at least you've achieved something. Because I'll tell you, I know a lot of people, and it's shocking to me how many people are living just a routine, honestly, nothing kind of existence. They're just not really living. And it takes different shapes and forms. For a lot of us, it just becomes this malaise, this monotonous routine of we get up, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, we watch TV for 3 hours, we go to sleep. We get up the next morning, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, we watch TV for 3 hours, we go to sleep. And over and over, and it's just infuriating, and it's monotony. What it reminds me of, like the picture I get in my head of that kind of life, is the rat in the cage that Mike sang about earlier. You know, we've all seen it, right? The hamster, the gerbil or whatever, running on the little wheel in the cage, and it's running, and it's running, and it's running, and it's running, and it's running. And you would think at some point it would just stop and go, "Wait a second. Am I an idiot? Like I'm exerting all this energy and I'm running, but I am not going anywhere." And you'd think at some point we would say, "Hold up. Like every day I get up and I put all this energy into life, but where is it taking me? Where am I going? And there's got to be more to life than this." And can you think of anything worse than getting to the end of your life and realizing that you let life slip you by? There's a lot of things you can screw up, but to screw up life and to realize I went through life kind of faking, pretending like I had a real life, but really, I just didn't. Now, my guess is that probably some of you are like, "Wait a second, hold up. Like you're saying that I'm faking like I'm having life?" I mean, I'll admit, like, my life isn't all excitement. It's not all great and happy, but I mean, I do have good moments. That's not like I'm always faking. I mean, I have some good times. I have good moments, and I believe that. I won't take that away from you. And I think those moments are real. They're not fake. They are real. And personally, I believe that those moments, the good moments that we have, not the routine, not the boredom, but when we feel fully alive for a minute, those moments, I think they can be incredibly important or kind of dangerous. And I'll explain what I mean. See, most of us go through life, and all we deal with on an everyday basis are just ordinary things of this world. And we quickly become just content or resigned to deal with just those things alone. But there's a problem with that. The problem is that you and I are more than that. And we were made for more than that. The Bible says in the Old Testament, there's this great verse in a book called Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. It says that God has set eternity in our hearts. The idea is that God made you with this eternal kind of soul. And in there, there's this longing for something that can never be satisfied in this world. That you were made to desire God, to desire something transcendent, something eternal. And so nothing in this world will ever satisfy that. So back to those moments that you have, those moments that you're not faking it and you're not bored. It's like, no, this is a moment when I'm fully alive. Well, there's this theory, and it's just a theory, but it makes total sense to me, that maybe what God has done is he's kind of set us up in life so that we have these incredible moments so that they'll give us like a little taste, a little flicker, a little shadow of eternity. That there are these moments that should help us to realize, wait a second, what was that that just happened inside of me? And kind of make us realize, there's got to be something more. Like there's something more to life than what I normally experience. And so those moments that you have, maybe it's in sex or in alcohol or drug use. Maybe it's at some incredible group experience. You know, you go to a concert or you go to a game and you're part of this sporting event and your team wins. Or maybe it's listening to music and you hear this song and you don't know why, but it's like you just get choked up. Or you're watching a movie and it's like your soul takes flight for a minute. You know, or maybe it's just playing with your kid, or maybe it's you're falling in love with this guy or this girl, and there's something inside of you that just kind of goes, whoa. Like there's something very real that's happening right now. There's something inside of me that I can't barely explain that's happening. It's more real than anything I get to experience. Maybe that's God's way of pursuing you in love, because he wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to know that you are made for more than this. Maybe what God's doing is giving you a little hint, a little taste of what a relationship with him can be like. A little flicker of heaven, so that you'll realize, you'll have this epiphany, I was made for more than this. There is something better, something deeper, something beyond this world and what I normally deal with, and I just got a little taste of it. And that's why I said that those moments can be really important or really dangerous. They can be really important if that's where it leads us. If those great moments we have when we really are alive and our soul takes flight, if those become kind of a means to an end. You know, instead of having that moment and just letting it be that moment, if we realize, wait, what was that? Why did I feel that way? What is it inside of me that resonated with that? And we realize, I think there's something beyond this. Like that just gives me this hint that there's got to be something more. And so we start to realize maybe it is something eternal. Maybe it is God pursuing me in love, kind of giving himself away. And maybe what he's asking me to do is to pursue him back. And so if those moments become a means to an end, man, they can be incredibly important in our spiritual journey. Or they can be really dangerous. They can be dangerous. Because what happens for some people is that rather than letting that moment become a means to an end, they view that moment as the end itself, right? And so, like, they get a taste of this thing, and they really like it, whatever it is. And they say, wait a second, I want more of that. And so rather than letting that thing lead them to God, to the source of that feeling that they had, they just go back to that same thing, that same event, and they go back again and again and again, trying to recreate that feeling they had once. You know why that's dangerous? Because that can never satisfy your soul. You know, this thing you experience, whatever it is, it's going to a concert, it's drugs, it's this girl, whatever it is, this thing that made you alive for a moment, that can never really satisfy you. And so if you keep going back to that, it's just never going to happen for you. And so what you're going to do is be in this endless pursuit of trying to recreate that feeling. And what happens, and we all know this, is when you first feel that sensation, it's intense and it's euphoric. And then you go back and do it again, and it's a little less intense and a little less euphoric. And you're like, wait a second, it was better last time. And so what you do is you say, okay, I guess I have to do it more often to get that same feeling. Or I have to somehow figure out a way to raise the stakes to intensify the sensation I have when I do that thing. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, we've all been there, right? Some of us are there right now in our lives. I think the person who described this best and most eloquently was a philosopher from years gone by named W. Axl Rose, who said, I used to do a little, but a little wouldn't do, so a little got my wah, my wah. I just keep trying to get a little better than a little better than before. Wah. Right? Remember that song? Yes? You appreciate my singing? How good was that? Thank you. That's why I'm not the guy singing. You guys are clapping. That's funny. He's exactly right, right? He says, man, I used to do a little, and a little did it for me. But then a little wasn't doing it for me, so a little got better more and more. And I just had to keep going back and back and back, and I can never get back to where I was, where I felt that way. And the reason is, you're not supposed to. It's a taste. It's a flicker. It's a shadow pointing you to something else, pointing you to God. The picture I get in my mind of this is that rat in the cage, right? And he's running, and he's running, and he's running, and he's running. And let's say after a while he goes, what am I doing? Like, this is nuts. And he thinks, there's got to be more than this. And so what he does is he thinks, what if I jump? Like, what if while I'm running, I just kind of jump? I wonder how that would feel. And so he tries. He's running, and he's running, and he just kind of lunges up in the air. And he's like, woo, that felt kind of good. That was kind of cool. And so he falls back down, and he's kind of like, oh, I think I'll do that again. He jumps again. But it's just not quite that cool this time. And so he's like, huh. And he thinks, well, maybe if I jump higher, maybe. And so he's running, and he jumps as high as he can. And he does have kind of a cool sensation, but he hits his head on the top of the wheel. And it's like, ow. And then he comes back down, he's got a hangover. And so he's like, I am not doing that again. And so now he's running. But pretty soon he's bored again. He's like, you know what? It's worth it. And so he lunges up in the air again. He has kind of a cool sensation. Ouch, hits his head, comes back down, hangover. And let's just say he spends the rest of his little rat life running on that wheel, jumping up and hitting his head and coming down with hangovers. And the deal is, still, he's not getting anywhere, right? He's still doing the same thing. He's just added a few cool sensations and some hangovers to go along with it, but he's still not going anywhere. And so far as the way I see it, we've got two options so far, right? We've got the one option, which is you just live this mundane life, and every day you do the same routine, and you let life slip you by. The other option is you live that life, but you throw in these sensations that will never ultimately satisfy your soul. And so typically they'll lead to addictions and to you just pursuing them endlessly and just being frustrated by the sense that this is not really doing it for me. And I'm going to take both of those options and put them in the rat in the cage category. Okay, so we have two rat in the cage kind of alternatives. So if the problem really is, if I'm right, and the problem is that we're not really living, that we're bored and we're kind of faking life, is there another option? Well, I found one, and I want to share it with you, and you can do whatever you want with it, but I'll share with you what I have found. And so I want to show you this verse in the Bible. It's in the book of John, chapter 10. The Bible is divided into books, and the books are divided into chapters, and then they're divided into verses, and it's verse 10, John 10, 10. And by the way, if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, like if you don't have a Bible, or if you have one, but it sounds like it was written by Shakespeare, it's like, Thee'st thou'st. You're like, what if? We will give you a Bible. We've got Bibles at our hub table in the lobby. And if you just stop by, there's no catch. You don't have to give us your name. You don't have to pay. Just walk up and say, give me a Bible. And they'll give you a Bible. You could be nice about it if you want. But you could just say, give me a Bible. And they will hand you a Bible. So John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus is speaking here. And he explains why he came from heaven, where he lived as God, to earth, where he lived as man. So John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come, here's why, that they may have life and have it to the full. He says, I have come that they, that's you, by the way. He's talking about you. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And so Jesus is saying that it's possible to be alive and not have life. And I think if we were honest, we'd all be nodding right now, right? It's possible to be alive and not have life. And Jesus says, I came to give you life, real life. I came to take you out of the rat cage. And I think what Jesus is saying is, I came to take you out of the rat cage and put you on a roller coaster. I think that's what Jesus came to do. Do we have any roller coaster fans? Yeah, so, okay, a lot of it, good. I love roller coasters, and the reason I love it is because it's not boring, right? You get on a roller coaster, you're going to have some fun. And the thing with roller coasters, it's not like every single moment is like a thrill. Like, there's moments where you're kind of cruising along, waiting for the next hill or the next dive or whatever, and that's not super exciting, but at least you know you're waiting for something good. You know, something good is coming. And you know, so parts of the ride, you're just sick to your stomach, and it's not a good feeling, but still, it's worth it, right? And there's times where you're scared, and you're like, am I going to fall on this thing? But really, you know you're safe, and it's just awesome. The best moments is like when you're going up the first big hill, which on the new coasters, you're just like, whoop, you're there. But like in the old coasters, where you'd hear the chain rattling, right? And you're going up, and it's like, chicka, 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 and your stomach starts to do it with it, right? You're like, kind of chicka, 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 and then you get to the top, and you're just hanging there, and you're like, and then finally you go, and it's like, woo, right? And you're just like, yes. And you have this feeling, it's like, I am alive. I think that Jesus came to take you out of the rat cage and to put you on a roller coaster. He came to give you an adventure. Now, I realize that some of you might be like, this is really hard for me to believe because I've seen some Christians. And so if you're telling me that following Jesus leads to an adventure and it's the most exciting life there is, explain for me the people I've seen. And you're right. And I apologize for that, because there are people who believe in Jesus, but I don't think they really follow or live the life that he has for them. Because when you do, what you get is an adventure. Let me show you an example. We're going to go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the stories of Jesus' life. In Matthew, chapter 4, Jesus has lived for like 30 years in relative obscurity. He's been a carpenter, but now he's coming out on the scene. He's making these bold proclamations. I've come that you might have life. And he's like, really? You're a carpenter? And like, he's starting to do stuff. And people are like, wait a second, there's something up here. And then he starts asking people to come and be his disciples, like his apprentices. Like, I want you to be with me all the time, and I'm going to train you to be a leader, to lead in what I'm trying to do here in the world. So look at Matthew 4. We'll put it on the screen for you, starting in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Which, by the way, Zebedee, that's awesome. I don't know if we have anybody who's expecting, but name your son Zebedee. I would love it. I want to say, hey, Zebedee, every Sunday or Monday night. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Crazy stuff here. So, let's say the first guy, Peter. Can you imagine when Peter went home that night? Because we know from the Bible that Peter was a married man. And can you imagine what Mrs. Peter said when she heard about this? She's like, you did what? You decided to follow who? What did you do with the boat? Where's the boat? You know, like she probably thought, this is stupid. This is crazy. You left everything. You left your boat. You left your nets to follow this guy, Jesus. Like, stupidest decision you ever made, Pete. But it wasn't stupid. It's the wisest decision he ever made. Because the day he decided to follow Jesus was the day he traded in the rat cage and got a roller coaster. Like, I could just picture the night before this happened, right? And Peter is at the local pub. And he's sitting there when this guy he used to know, like back in school, he's like this wise cracking guy. He comes up and he's like, hey, look who it is, it's Peter. Peter's like, hey man, what's going on? And the guy's like, hey Pete, how you doing? What you been doing lately? And Peter's like, what is this, a joke? You know what I've been doing? I'm a fisherman. I fish every day, that's what I do. Guy's like, really? So what'd you do today? Peter's like, seriously? You know what I did today? I fish every day. Guy's like, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? Pete's like, do you want me to bust your lip open? You know what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm fishing. The guy's like, really? What are you gonna do the next day? He's like, all right, let's take this outside. Like right now. Right? And so Peter goes home frustrated, goes to sleep. The next morning he wakes up and he gets into his same old routine that he went into every day, just like you and I. And he got up, he poured a cup of bad coffee. And he ate a bowl of Fruit Loops. I don't know what they ate for breakfast back then. I'm sorry. And so he's eating breakfast, and then he goes off to go fishing, because that's what he did every day. But this day something happened. He's out fishing when Jesus walks up. And he had seen Jesus before, and he had listened to what he had to say. He had witnessed Jesus' character, and he knew, I mean, almost right away, he knew there was no one like Jesus. In fact, he thought there probably never was and never would be. But something really strange happened, because Jesus is walking along, and he stops, and he looks out at the boat, and Peter's like, he's looking right at me. And then Jesus spoke words that would change Peter's life forever. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And those words took Peter's breath away. And he couldn't understand, why would Jesus want someone like me, a fisherman, I don't know anything, why would he want me to follow him? Maybe he's not even talking to me. But Peter wasn't taking any chances, and so he just followed. You know, he left everything there to follow Jesus. And his life became an adventure. I mean, you read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories of Jesus' life, where Peter's like one of the main characters. And then you read the very next book, which is the book of Acts, which tells the Acts of the first church, kind of the history book of the first churches. And man, Peter lives an adventure. I mean, it's crazy stuff. In fact, I could picture him like a couple of years after this whole come follow me incident. Like he's walking down the street one day, and that same guy from the pub that night comes walking up. He's like, "Look who it is. I haven't seen you in a couple of years, Pete. Man, how you been doing? What you been doing?" And Peter's like, "I've been doing great." And he's like, "Yeah, what you been up to? Fishing?" Peter's like, "Do you really want to know?" He's like, "Yeah, you've been fishing?" And he's like, "Okay, seriously? Yesterday, there was like thousands of hungry people. And you're not going to understand this. I don't understand this. But we fed thousands of hungry people with like a couple pieces of bread and a couple fish. Crazy. It was unbelievable. 2 days ago, there was this woman. She got caught like in sin. And the religious leaders were going to kill her. But Jesus, like he's my best friend. I hang with him now. He forgave her, gave her life back. A couple days before that, we healed people like all day long. I'm talking like lepers, people who were dying, healed, brought back to full health. A couple weeks ago, I walked on water. Dude, I am serious. No, like water. Like, I was walking on the stuff. Like, do you want to hear more? Because I could go on all day. Like, seriously, Peter's life became an adventure. I mean, think about it. These four guys that we just read about, we're still talking about them today. Can you name any other Galilean fishermen from the first century? But we still talk about these guys, don't we? In fact, people name their kids after them. You know anybody named Peter? James? John? Andrew? And these guys became the leaders of a worldwide revolution that swept the globe and still is having an impact on people's lives today. And it's because that day when Jesus said, "Come follow me," they said yes. It's because they decided to escape the rat cage and jump on the roller coaster. And I got to tell you, the same thing happened to me. I not all of you were here 2 weeks ago, but I told you my story. I did not grow up knowing anything about Jesus. I never went to church. I didn't know anything. And when I was 20 years old, I kind of encountered Jesus through this dumb thing I saw on TV. But it made me start to investigate. And I started to just really examine what Jesus had to say and kind of witness his character. And pretty quickly, I realized that there was no one like him. There never was, and there never would be. And after a while, it dawned on me that Jesus was calling me to follow him. And that took my breath away. And I couldn't understand it. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why someone like Jesus would want someone like me to become a follower of his. But I wasn't taking any chances, so I just left everything and followed. And I got to tell you, that day, my life went from the rat cage to the roller coaster. I mean, if you knew me up to that day when I was 20 years old, and if you knew me up to then, you would have thought I was the life of the party. Like, seriously, when I was somewhere, it was more fun. It was crazy. Like, I was making people do weird and crazy things. And so everybody knew me. Oh, man, that guy is living. I was not living. I was bored out of my mind, faking life, because I couldn't figure out anything else to do. And I experimented with everything I could to try to get a taste of something better or deeper, something more meaningful. I mean, you name it, I did it. Because I had to find something. And they gave me cool experiences and cool sensations, but nothing really did it for me. And then I started following Jesus. And if I told you, like, what I've gotten to do in the last 20 years, you would think I was exaggerating. Like, if you knew the adventure that God has had me on since I started following him, it's crazy. And it's because when he said, come follow me, I said yes. And it may be hard for you to believe, and I understand if it is. But when Jesus says, come follow me, and you say yes, you get an adventure. You go from routine to real, from the rat cage to the roller coaster. Now, can I prove that to you? Remember, if you were here 2 weeks ago, I said, man, I can prove the Bible's true to you, and I can. Like if we sat down at the end of our time together, you would go, oh, he can prove this, like he really can. Can I prove to you that following Jesus is the key to life and adventure? Not really. Not really. I can tell you what happened with Peter, though. And I can tell you what happened with me. And I can bring a whole ton of people up here who would say the same thing. But you can't really prove something like that. But there's this great verse in the Old Testament I really like. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Like that. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't convince somebody what something tastes like, right? Sometimes you just have to taste something for yourself. And that's God's invitation to you. Maybe you're not ready yet to come follow me, but I think Jesus would say, well, then taste and see that the Lord is good. Get a taste of what this is about. Start following in some way. Start showing up here on Monday nights and start following, and you will get this taste, and you will start to see that the Lord is good. And my prayer for you is that it would lead you to a place where you would say yes. Yes, Jesus, I don't understand why. It takes my breath away, but I want to follow you. And I've come to this really weird belief that I think it will lead me to an adventure. I promise you, it won't be boring. All right. Really, that's what Verve is. Verve is a group of people who are on a spiritual journey. And what a lot of us are discovering and are going to discover is that when you decide to follow Jesus, first of all, he's worth following. And second of all, your life becomes an adventure. And we're closing this initial series. This is our third week, and we did kind of a three-week series to start off with. And I thought it might be cool. Like, you've heard a lot from me, but there was like 50 or so people who worked together to start this church. We started with 6, and it kind of grew from there, and it ended up about 50 adults who worked really hard to do this. I thought it might be cool to end this series by letting you guys meet, just very briefly, a few of the people who worked to start this thing, and let them just kind of share, just very briefly, who they are and why they become a part of this adventure of following Jesus and starting this church for God and for you. So here they are.
Hey, guys. My name is Chuck. I was actually on staff at Vince's church in Virginia Beach that he started 12 years ago before I came here. And but to be honest, before I went to that church, before I came to that spot, man, I was so disgusted with church, Christians, all of it. I was ready to throw in the towel on the whole God thing altogether. Just the hypocrisy and the religious crap. I was about done. I just quit on the God thing. But when I went to Forefront, the church that he started 12 years ago, it kind of helped me get a sense of a breath of fresh air. I could worship God with my heart, not with my grandmother's heart. And that made a huge difference. So once I heard that he's moving out here to start something, same thing in Las Vegas, man, we said we had to be part of that. So we left our position there, and my wife and 3 kids came out here to help be a part of this. And, man, it has been awesome since we moved out here. Crazy cool things happening. And I'm really excited to be here. My name's Chuck, and I am Verve.
Hi, my name's Heidi, and last year I lived in Kansas City, and Vince came and spoke at our church, and it was actually 1 year ago this past weekend. He came, spoke at our church, and he talked about starting this new church here in Las Vegas. And it sounded pretty crazy, but my husband and I knew that we needed to be a part of it. The thing is, we didn't know anybody here. We didn't have jobs. We didn't have a place to live. And I was pregnant with our first child. But we came anyway, and it's totally been an adventure. I'm Heidi, and I'm Verve.
Hi, my name is Margaret, and I was born and raised right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I had been to a few churches out here, but back in December, I heard about this new church that was starting up, so I decided to check it out and see what this new thing was all about. And I started going to the launch team meetings, and I had been looking for a place that had passion for people the way that I did, and I was looking for people that just wanted to love other people like I did, and that's what Verve really is about, and so I decided to stay involved, and my name is Margaret, and I'm Verve.
My name is Travis.
And I'm Kimberly.
And we moved to Vegas about 3 years ago. I was working in the nightlife industry, just making the worst decisions that you could think possible. People come here and party, and I was living that every day because that's what I did for a living. And it really just destroyed our marriage and our family. And I never, went to church growing up or anything, but Kimberly really begged me to go back to church. And I heard Vince speak as a guest speaker, and it just changed my life. I just accepted God into my life, and that's, the reason why we're here right now. So, I'm Travis.
And I'm Kimberly.
And we are Verve.
That's what Verve is, and just to be clear, it's not this building, it's not a religious institution, it's not some documents that you submit to the government. It's a group of people who have decided, hey, let's go on this spiritual journey together towards God and see what happens. And along the way, some of us are discovering that Jesus is worth following, and when you do, he takes you out of the rat cage and he gives you a roller coaster. And for us, part of that has been starting this church, and who knows what it's going to be for you, but that's what you're invited to. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'd love to see you next week. Have an awesome week.